talks about purity, we have to get rid of distractions in our lives, right? You know, we don't need to bring God down. We've got God down. the rest of the stuff out of the room, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you want to go and have a good conversation with one person, but you go to a party and they're really full of people.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get to know that one person, isn't it?
Yeah.
All these other people in the room, they want to come by and talk, and they want to come by and do this and that, and they're making noise and everything. You know, so you have to get all this other stuff out of the way. So it's just you and that person, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Just you and God, one-on-one sometimes. And then you can have the people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got a group of people together, and we're all going one-on-one on God. And that's communion together.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, we have a treat.
Yeah.
Candace is going to sing for us.
This song is by Hillsong, and it's called Who You Say I Am. And the main thing is, whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
It's free indeed.
All right. So sing along. It's kind of repetitive, so anyway. Would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Whom the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I. Grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. And the Son sets free. Oh, it's free.
You are for me, not against me. I am.
your will and to do your words. We are your servants, Lord. We are your children, Lord. Lead and guide us the way that we should go, Lord. And I thank you for all the people that you have brought in front of us already, that we have many more to come. In the search is free. It's free.
Themselves, because to them God wasn't enough.
Wow.
They needed God plus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They needed God plus. Gideon. God wanted to show Gideon that God was sufficient totally.
Yeah.
He didn't need God plus Baal.
Yeah.
You see, he didn't need God plus. He just needed God.
Yeah.
Just needed God. You know, we're talking about purity.
Mm-hmm.
Purity was wiping everything out for mm-hmm. God. Being pure. Pure heart.
Mm.
I don't have any doubt. All I got left in me is trust.
Yeah.
And all I got left in me is faith. Because I don't need any of this other stuff. I don't put my trust in riches or friends or family or whatever. My trust is totally in God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was really cool. Now I want to bring out a verse from Numbers 18:20. We'll be coming back to this verse out of time. It's when in Numbers 18:20, God is establishing the priesthood of Aaron. He says, you know, okay, Levites, you're going to have this part, and Aaron, you're going to have this part. And it says here, it says, and the Lord said to Aaron, all right, now this is the actual person he's talking to, but he's talking to Aaron and his sons, his descendants. He says, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets an inheritance. Everybody gets a portion. Aaron doesn't. Mm-hmm. You're left out in the cold, bud. Everybody gets a chunk of land in the promised land, but you, Aaron, you don't get any. You don't get any land, you don't get any inheritance, you don't get a portion. Then he goes on to say, I, this is what God says, I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. You don't have any land to fall back on. You don't have anything, no flocks and herds and other stuff. You don't have any of this stuff besides me. Mm-hmm. I am your portion. I am your inheritance among the people of Israel. So that's what he had to lean on. That's what he had to trust in. God and God alone. God and God alone. That was it. You have no land. Mm-hmm. You know, can't go out and raise watermelons. You're sorry. No homegrown tomatoes, brother. If you got homegrown tomatoes, somebody else is going to grow. It's going to be grown in somebody else's patch. You're going to get a watermelon, it's going to come out of somebody else's patch. You don't have any land. He says, God is my portion.
Yeah.
God is my portion. And that's all I got. Mm-hmm. That's what was going on in Acts here. Mm-hmm. Everybody brought land, laid at the apostles' feet. They said, I don't need land, God is my portion. Mm-hmm. God is my inheritance. That's what we do today. What do we need? All we need is God. He is our portion. He is our inheritance. We are a priesthood of believers. Right? Mm-hmm. God is our portion. We live by faith in Him. Not by faith in Him and whatever else we can grab on the side. But just by faith in Him.
Wow, that's good.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to continue looking at inheritance because this is all tied up in inheritance, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're going to continue looking at this. And I want to look today at, kind of take us through Genesis a little bit. We talked a little bit about it. Abraham's son Isaac was considered his heir, not Ishmael, or his sons by Keturah, who was a concubine. They had no inheritance. They were sent away from Abraham to make it on their own. Of course, he gave them a lot of stuff. A lot of, I guess, sheep and goats or whatever, you know, when they left. But Isaac was the one who got the inheritance. Isaac was the one who got the inheritance. And so this is a cultural thing. All right? Who gets what? How does the inheritance divide it? Who's the birthright? Who's the firstborn? All this is a cultural thing for them. Way back to before Abraham had a ham in his name. He was just Abel, you know, and all the way back, you know. And they were big on family, very big on family. The children were very big on inheritance. You can see this most clearly when you look at Abraham's grandsons, Esau and Jacob. I put Esau first because he was oldest. Most people say Jacob and Esau. You know why they do that, don't you? We're going to find out why. You know, as we go along, you know. So what are the inheritance rights of the firstborn? You know, this is not clearly laid out in the Bible. It's not clearly laid out because it was like understood by everybody. Mm-hmm. It was just understood what these inheritance rights were. Mm-hmm. But it is laid out a little bit in a modification of this, or a clarification of the rights of the firstborn. And that's in Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17. I'm going to read that for us. And he's actually talking about a specific instance, all right? But it helps us to understand what the actual law was, or what the actual custom was. He says, if a man has two wives, the one loved and the other unloved, and both the loved and the unloved have borne him children, and if the firstborn son belongs to the unloved, okay, so the wife he doesn't love as much as the first son, then on the day when he assigns his possessions as an inheritance to his sons, okay, he may not treat the son of the loved as the firstborn in preference to the son of the unloved, who is the firstborn. I get that now? Mm-hmm. All right. But he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, For he is the firstfruits of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Okay? So we learn their, a little bit about their custom from this clarification, if you will. All right? So if he's got two wives, all right, the firstborn is born to the unloved one. He can't say, well, I love this one. I'm going to give the her son the right of the firstborn, which is the double portion, right? So we learned that from this law here, which is actually just clarifying something, all right? Just clarifying, just making sure that the unloved wife is treated fairly, that her children are treated fairly. Mm-hmm. And really, that's about it. The rest of it, we're all having to get by inference from the Bible. Okay, so that's good. That's good. So we hear about the portions the sons received. Let's see. You know, this verse, who's talking about, don't you? It seems to be talking directly to Jacob and Esau, right? Well, not Esau so much, but Jacob. Remember, mm-hmm. he had two wives?
Mm-hmm.
One was Rachel, one was Leah.
Mm-hmm.
Which one did he love?
Rachel.
Rachel, right? Which one had her first son?
Leah.
Leah. He had Reuben. That was the first one. So this seems to be speaking specifically to that. Of course, it's many years afterwards, but it seems to be speaking specifically to that. If you look at Genesis 43, 32 through 33, it says they served him, that is Joseph. This is talking about Joseph and his brothers, and he had his brothers in for a feast, for a meal. And it says that he sat in one place, the Egyptian sat in another place, mm-hmm. and his brothers sat in another place. Mm-hmm. They couldn't eat together at the same table.
Yeah.
All right. It says they served him, Joseph, by himself, and then his brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves. Because Joseph was of so much higher rank than the Egyptians.
Yeah.
So, and it says, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. Yeah. They couldn't sit with them, mm-hmm. with the Hebrews, and eat with them because the Hebrews were shepherds. Yeah. They kept cattle. For some reason, the Egyptians didn't get on that.
Yeah.
It says, and they sat before him. Now, here's how the brothers received it. Okay, put Joseph down here where he just came in. Well, if that was Joseph sitting all by a table by himself, here was the table of Egyptians, and here was the table of the brothers.
Yeah.
The firstborn was first.
Yeah.
And they went down in age all the way down to the youngest.
Yeah.
And the men looked at each other in amazement. How did he know which one was the oldest and the youngest? I mean, he got it all right. So, you know, he knew the firstborn, he knew the birthright.
Yeah.
And he knew all the other ages. So we find out, you know, we're introduced this word, the firstborn and birthright. And I told you that they're similar Hebrew words. Change a couple of letters. You know, the firstborn, the birthright.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically the same thing. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and also when Jacob wants to tell his son about his futures, he refers to Reuben, who was the firstborn. He says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, my, and the firstfruits of my strength. Firstfruits.
Mm-hmm.
Firstborn. All right? Birthright. They're all right there together. Okay, they use them interchangeably. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Okay? And of course, Israel was called God's firstborn. And Jesus was called God's firstborn in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to look at Jacob and Esau and the significance of the firstborn and birthright. So it says that Isaac, and this was in Genesis 25, 21 to 23, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord granted his prayer. Rebecca, his wife, has seen this children struggle together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Wow. So she took that to heart.
Yes, indeed.
The older shall serve the younger. Her heart was knit to the youngest. She even named Jacob. Jacob got named supplanter. That's what Jacob means. He's going to take the place of his older brother. So we want to fast forward. Guys grow up, right? Jacob was a guy who hung around the tents, took care of things. Esau was a hunter. Mm-hmm. He liked to be out in the woods. He took his bow and arrow or whatever they took in those days, and he'd go out and kill the game. He'd bring back wild game, he'd cook it up, he'd feed Esau, he'd feed Isaac, and I'd go, "Boy, I like this game. Yeah. I like the wild taste of this wild. This is really good, you know. I like this game." But Jacob, he kind of hung around, did the farming, you know, just did this kind of stuff. So they were just two different guys.
Yeah.
Two very different. They were twins, but they weren't identical. Okay.
Yeah.
They were very different. Mm-hmm. Esau was hairy, all right. Mm-hmm. Jacob was smooth, you know, was not much hair on it. You know, like that. Esau was like that. So they were just very different guys.
Yeah.
And so once when Jacob was cooking stew, he was a cook. He's a chef, we call him a chef. He was cooking some of his vegetable stuff up, all right? Mm. Esau came in from out in the field, you know, with the animals or hunting or whatever. And he was exhausted. He was tired. He'd been traveling around, dragging a deer back or something, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom, which means red. Esau, by the way, means hairy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he's hairy or red. You know. Mm-hmm. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now. Go for a trade. Let's do some dickering here, right?" So Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So Esau swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, could Esau have made it to some food at some other place? Well, yeah, he probably could have. I mean, he wasn't going to die. He was a big guy. He was strong, right? Mm-hmm. But he was exhausted, and that's why he fell. He went by his feelings. Mm-hmm. So, Esau despised his birthright. Mm-hmm. What? Despise your birthright? That was unheard of. You just didn't do that, right? I mean, you're the firstborn. I mean, everybody strives to be the firstborn. Everybody wants to be the firstborn. That's like, well, you turn your back on your birthright? Uh-huh. On your double portion. You only two of you guys, you get two-thirds of what? You turn your back on that? That's a huge amount of stuff because they were rich, right? Mm-hmm. What is going on here? It's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Over in Hebrews 12, 15 through 17, it's presented this way. It says, See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled.
Yeah.
That no one is sexually immoral, or no one is unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he saw it with tears. Called Esau unholy. Don't be unholy like Esau. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Well, the word translated unholy here, I think in the King James it says profane.
Yeah.
It says, it is a is a word that means common. Mm-hmm. Well, common in the sense that not special. Okay, not special. All right? Unhallowed, not set apart.
Yeah.
Okay, to give you an idea, the instruments that were used in the temple, they were set apart from common use.
Right.
They were, you know, you had a lampstand here. Mm-hmm. All right? But once it went in the temple, it was dedicated for use in the temple, and it couldn't be used for anything else. Mm-hmm. But that, it was never used for common use.
Right.
Never taken outside the temple and used, well, I need some wine. No, that was only there. All the bowls, all the cups, all the lavers, all the ladles, everything. Anything that was dedicated for use in the temple could only be used in the temple. They were not common stuff. They were special. Special. When I was young, we had two sets of china.
Don't we all?
We had the common everyday china that we ate off of, and then we had the company china, the special china. You only pull this out when the preacher came to you know. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, this is what he's talking about here. Esau saw his birthright from a common point of view. Okay, he didn't see it as being special.
Yeah.
Set apart.
Yeah.
He was mainly concerned with the material part of his inheritance, with cows and sheep and goats and whatever. Not the spiritual part. Esau, who planned to kill Jacob after Jacob stole his birthright, he was happy when he discovered that Jacob, when he came back, he didn't want his cows and sheep and goats. Mm-hmm. He didn't come to claim his material portion of the inheritance. And when he discovered that, he was okay. He was going to kill Jacob. He was so mad at him, he was going to kill him. Mm-hmm. But when Jacob returns from killing his wives, he returns from being away at Laban, working for Laban, mm-hmm. and he sees that Jacob's got a whole bunch of stuff, and he's even giving me some of it. Well, Jacob isn't going to come and won't buy him, you know, in the inheritance that he by right is his. And Jacob says, I'm fine. You go ahead. I'm not even going to come stay with you. You see? Mm-hmm. Jacob says, you can keep everything. Not just two-thirds or one-third. You can keep the whole lot of material things. Mm-hmm. Because I got the spiritual blessing. Mm-hmm. I got the spiritual blessing.
Yeah.
So who received the promises God gave to Abraham?
Jacob.
It was Isaac and Jacob, not Esau. Who saw a ladder reaching up to heaven?
Jacob,
not Esau. Who wrestled all night with an angel?
Jacob,
not Esau. Mm-hmm. Whose descendants got the best land?
Jacob,
mm-hmm. not Esau.
Not Esau. That's right.
Edom, the land that Esau, that was a terrible land. One little bitty strip of fertile land. I mean, it's just horrible land. You go look at that land, it's not good at all. So we must be careful to prize, not despise, our inheritance.
Yeah.
I've heard this, I've never studied it out, so, you know, it's just a little different page. And so, just take it and, you know. There's the birthright and then the blessing. The blessing was the financial part. The birthright was the spiritual part. That you were the spiritual leader of the household, that you took all the spiritual responsibility. That's why he despised the birthright, his spiritual responsibility for that household and going on. And I just heard this. So, and the blessing, when he wanted the blessing, he didn't get it. The blessing was the financial part of it. I don't know if that's true or not. I think it was Jocelyn Dale or Charles Stanley that taught that. So.
Well, actually, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite. In other words, it's the opposite.
If you read
the blessing Genesis, is not the financial. The blessing is the spiritual, and the birthright is not the birth. It's the financial.
If you, I tell you, it's hard to say because they're meshed together.
Okay, so.
I'm not going to come down real hard on this because they are meshed together.
Meshed together.
Okay? And so when Jacob was talking to Esau and he sold the, you know, the, so was he talking about the material or was he talking about
the
spirit?
We don't know. I just heard it.
Because they're meshed together.
Yes.
Whoever was the firstborn supposedly got both. You see.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be supposedly the spirit, you would need the finances.
What?
You need resources to be that. I mean, we need to be back. Just like we have a responsibility on earth to be lights of God, but God backs us with heaven. So we have the resources available to us to be the blessings that God calls us to be. So, like, for the head of the household, the spiritual, like the firstborn, he had the double portion, but that's his siblings would go to him whenever they were in trouble, and then he would have the resources available to help his family. So you would need the financial part of it to stand in that. You can't say, I'm the spiritual head, but if you have nothing to help your family with, I mean, that's just like having an arm without a hand.
Okay.
That's a good point.
And I'd like to address that point, too. Okay? Now, I'll address that point next week. One of the things you'll find